Tonight we would like to speak to you about a lovely lady in Scripture and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 25, and we will speak about a lady there that is a lovely picture and an example of those who believe in the Lord's anointed, the person of Abigail. What a blessedness that we have for someone who intercedes, and a person who has the wonderful gift of to be an intercessor. In chapter 25 of the book of 1 Samuel, we find that David was going to ask Nabal for some assistance. Now, we learn, if we have read the rest of the first book of Samuel, that David was in the wilderness now. He was there hiding and running from Saul. And when he was in the wilderness, he had men with him who were strong men, who were capable men. And while he was there in the wilderness, Nabal had about 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And that's quite a herd. And he had these, and David and his men had become a wall of protection for him. While he was out there, they didn't permit anybody to abuse him and his men in watching and caring for his herd. So David said, that brings us up to chapter 25. And we also learn there that Samuel, the prophet, had died. It says, "And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in the house of Ramah. And David arose and went down into the wilderness of Paran." Now, first we see here, and we'll see that this scripture is profitable in many ways. And God never put in this book, he never put history, and he doesn't give us history just for the purpose of giving us history. God doesn't do that. God puts everything in his book for a purpose, as he tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's all profitable for you and for me. So it's not history, even though some of the things that we read are historical, but God doesn't put them there just for the fact of giving us and the sake of giving us history. And I think if we look at this in the light of a type this evening, in the light of three types this evening, it can be profitable to you and to me, which all Scripture is. And first, if we look at David, David was the Lord's anointed. And as I've said, he was out there in the wilderness. Now, back in the chapter 16 of the book of 1 Samuel, you will find, if you go back there and read, you will find that God had Samuel to anoint David king. And he didn't get the throne. Our Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven, but he wasn't king. He was a king, but he was anointed, but he didn't take his throne. But he's going to. And so you see, David was out in the wilderness, and he had not yet ascended to the throne, but he was going to. And our Lord Jesus Christ, at the time that he was here on the earth, had not taken the throne, the kingly throne. He didn't come in the aspect of a king. He came as a lowly babe, but he was the king. But he was, Pilate asked him, he said, "Art thou a king?" And he said, "Thou sayest." And so he was a king, but he was not yet on his throne. So we see here these wonderful types that we have in the Scripture. David as the Lord's anointed. But he yet had to ascend to the throne. And he was representing Christ and his claims upon men. Now David had some claims upon Nabal because he had protected him. The Lord Jesus Christ has claims upon you and claims upon me because he has redeemed us, because he has paid for our salvation. So we see in these wonderful types in the Scripture, and all the words in Scripture are pregnant of meaning about the Lord Jesus Christ. So here David, we see number one, has the claim upon men because he's God's anointed. Now remember that as we go through this. He is the Lord's anointed, and David is, in a sense, representing Christ and his claims upon men. And secondly, as we see here, we see Nabal. And Nabal is representative of a person in his pride and his foolishness. And he's a fit type of the Christ-rejecting men of this world. Now, Nabal was a rich man. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He must have had a lot of moolah to have that many cattle, as they called them in those days. We don't call sheep and goats cattle now, but they're called that in the scriptures. But to have herds like that, he had to have some means. And he was more in love with his means than he was with the source from which they had come. And this is the problem today in our life, in our land. We're more in love with our means than we are with the source from which they have come. We're not appreciative of the fact that the very air we breathe has to be in perfection. If the air were not in perfection, we couldn't stand for one iota of a second. But God has made in preparation everything for you and everything for me in perfection, and He wants the most wonderful thing that God wants to do for people, and they don't realize it, as what Peter is telling us. He wants to make a reservation for everybody in heaven. God wants to make that reservation. And the wonderful thing is that God tells people it's been paid for. You don't have to pay for it. God says, I'll make the reservation. I'll take the care of doing everything. And it's a reservation that is made for you in heaven. Nabal says, I don't want anything to do with that. I got my herds. I have my land. I have my servants. I don't need that. So Nabal is a representative of the Christ-rejecting men and women of this world. And then we come to Abigail, as we look at these three types in this portion of the Scripture. And what a beautiful person. Abigail is, it says that she's beautiful, and I believe she was physically as well as the spiritual part about her. But you know something, just to digress here? There are many, many beautiful people in this world that are not attractive physically. You know that? And there are many, many physically attractive people in this world that are ugly. People, by their countenance, people make themselves beautiful or ugly. And I believe that this woman was a beautiful example of those who believe in the Lord's anointed. Now let's look at our scripture and see here. So with the background of this, and look at verse 2. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. Now that's the wilderness where David was residing. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now David's men needed some sustenance because they were not financed by the country in which they lived. He was king, but they had no income from the country because Saul was king. And so it says, now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. I think when we have a good understanding, there can be a beautiful countenance in each and every one of us. If we try to understand the person that is difficult, if we try to do that, then our countenance should be, and what the Lord would want it to be, is like that of Abigail. Now notice here that she had a good understanding. Now she was married to a person perhaps to whom she shouldn't have been married, but she had a good understanding and a beautiful countenance. But the man, speaking of Nabal, was churlish and evil in his doings. Now he was one that it was hard to work with, and there was no reasoning with him. He was something else. But we see here that in the background of these people, just who they were. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And so this was a time of gathering in. And David had protected these, and he expected some in return. Now, what about the Lord protecting us, and what about our giving to him in return? And so David comes in verse 6, and this is quite wonderful in verse 6, and says, "Thus say ye unto him that liveth in prosperity." Number one, he says, "Peace be to thee." Number two, "Peace to thy house." Number three, "Peace to all that thou hast." Now, number one, "peace to thee," that's like peace with God. Excuse me. Number two, "peace to thy house," that's the peace of God in all the home of the heart. And if you aren't at peace with God in the home of the heart, then you are not free in your conscience. You're not free in the attitude that you have toward God. And then number three, "peace to all that thou hast," and as we're told, "the peace that passeth all understanding." That's in every aspect of our life, touching all that we have. So David makes a request in verse 8. Now, in verse 8, "Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servant and unto thy son David." Unto thy son David, he says to do this. So David made a request, and the reason for it was that he and his men had been a wall of protection to Nabal's herdsmen, and you both day and night. You can find that back in chapter 16, verse 16 of this chapter. And David saved them from all the vials and evils of the wilderness. That's what the Lord Jesus does to you and does to me. He wants to save us. He is a wall. Look at verse 16. "They were a wall unto us both by night and day, and while we were with them keeping the sheep." The Lord Jesus Christ has said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you all the way." So his presence, David's presence, had saved these men from the evils of the world, from the wilds and things that were around them. And surely the Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved you and me by the power of his presence, has a claim upon us. Just as David had a claim here upon Nabal, the Lord Jesus Christ has a claim upon you and a claim upon me for our lives. And then we find, after the reason of it, the manner of it, in verse 5, "And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name." They weren't coming on their own. They were ambassadors of David, like you and I are to be ambassadors for Christ. Too often today, when we're talking to people about things of the Lord, it turns out to be too much of the time the things about George or whatever your name is. Now, isn't that not the truth? You see, we let the conversation get on to something else. But that isn't what, if you want an example of that, turn to John's Gospel chapter 4 and study what the Lord Jesus Christ did when that woman at the well tried to change his conversation into other things. He took the initiative. And David says here in verse 5, now notice this, "And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet them in my name. I'm the one that is sending you." Just like the Lord Jesus Christ has sent you and sent me, who are saved to be ambassadors for him, these were sent in the name of their Lord and Master, who was David. And listen, my friend, to despise the ambassadors or these young men that were sent was to despise the one who had sent them. And that's what it is when the Lord Jesus Christ says, "If the world hates you, it's hated me before it hated you." So, you see, when we go, we are to be ambassadors for Christ. Now, we need to start talking more about the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be our daily diet. We give out a lot. Now, listen, I'm not being critical. I'm just making the statement. We give out about 700 daily breads here every 3 months. And that's fine. We give them out. But it's more better to give out the daily diet of ourselves than it is to give out those books. Now listen to what I'm saying. It's more better to give out the daily diet of what we have gleaned. You see, what we're doing, we're giving out what somebody else has gleaned. But we need to give out what we have gleaned from, and I think the Lord will honor it much more in our area and within our lives. Now, I'm not ridiculing giving those out. I'm just saying if we would give out more on a personal basis, are we relying on those booklets that we give out for the knowledge that we should have to give out? You see, these men came and they told Nabal what David had said. And they came with a message of peace. And that's what our message should be. There's peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's number one, the request of David. Number two, we see the foolishness of Nabal. Verse 2. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great. Notice that. He was very great. And had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. But you know, great men are not always wise. Not always have the wisdom that God would have them to have. God didn't choose those kind of people. God chose men that were of a common nature, of a common walk. He chose fishermen and people of that sort to be the ones to go and do for him. He chose a farmer. He chose people that were workers in the field. He did various ways in this. But God is the wisdom that we need. His wisdom. For Christ has made unto us what it says in 1 Corinthians. What is it? Wisdom. That's the first thing. Christ is our wisdom. And He's made unto us wisdom. So great men are not always wise. And the wisdom and folly of man will become very apparent, my friend, when he's brought face to face with the claims of God. When God says to a man, as he said to Hezekiah, set your house in order, for this night you shall die. When that comes, the wisdom of man is not very valuable, is it? When God says to you and to me, he's going to say that someday, if the Lord doesn't return before he says it, but he's going to say that to you and to me, probably without a doubt. Set your house in order. This night you're going to die. That's going to happen to you and to me. But can you say amen to that? Or will you fret at that? How many Christians fret at death? We shouldn't do that. Because we have the wisdom of God. And we should not fret at death. Now, I don't want to leave my wife. If I should die before her, I love her. But I'm not going to fret if the Lord wants to bring me home before my wife, because she's going to come to be with me later anyhow. And I'm going ahead of her, and I'm going to have joy first before she has it. That'd be a little bit selfish, isn't it? But I'm going to. If I die first, I'm going to have the joy of seeing the Lord before she does. You see that? The attitude that we need to have about death. And as Mr. Bramhall says more often than not when he's in his pulpit, he'd like to wake up dead some morning. So, you know, this is a blessed thing for you and for me to have this wisdom. But man's wisdom is a fretting thing. They have no comprehension of what their future is, because they don't think that hell is a reality. They don't think that it is something with which they're going to have to deal. And so, this is, we see it in this man. He didn't think that. He was churlish, and he was rude, and he was hard with which to work. And there was no reasoning in with him. You know, the balance of God's sanctuary the balance of God's word is unerring. God says, this night you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. God's scales are true, and God's scales are accurate and correct. He never makes a mistake, and if it says 1 pound of sin, it's 1 pound of sin. If God says that sin is forgiven, that sin is forgiven. If that sin's not under the blood, God's scale says it's not forgiven. And so we see here in this foolishness of Nabal, and his folly is seen in verse 10. And Nabal answered David's servant and said, who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There may be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Now he was saying, you've broken away from Saul, and we have these people coming and making claims. How many claims are throughout the world today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And they're sickening. The claims that you see on television that have no more biblical background and doctrinal reasoning to them than a hog knows about Sunday. And this is what we are seeing today, and this is the attitude today, and this is the attitude that Nabal had here. He says, who is David? It's like when Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? When Moses said, let my people go. When God said to Moses, you tell him to let my people go. Pharaoh makes his boastful show of ignorance. And this can be like a backslider. It can be like a Christian too. Peter did this when he said, I know not the man. How many of us by our actions say that? I know not the man. Actions, my friends, speak louder than words. James tells us, you show me your faith by your works. And I believe that. I believe that. And I believe also that faith without works is dead. And I believe that because the Bible says it. I believe that a dead faith cannot save. I believe that because the Bible says it. And so we see here the servants of Christ are more often than not faced with these responses when we present the claims of the Lord. These are the responses that we receive when we visit with people, sometimes nice people. And there are a lot of nice people out there that are unsaved, but they're unsaved. A lot of nice, morally good people. And they are like Nabal. They don't think that they need, and that's their wisdom. They don't think that they are required to have the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have, when people are confronted with this, and we learned all these things in our evangelism course, personal evangelism, quibbling questions. You know, this is again why we need to go back to John chapter 4, where the Lord didn't permit these quibbling questions. He took charge in a wonderful way, and he directed that woman's attention to him. And these quibbling questions are asked in an all self-important manner to make ourselves, the person who's asking these quibbling questions, to look bright and smart in their eyes. Who's David? Now let me, these men I'm sure had the answer. But what if someone confronts you with that? Who is Jesus? Can we really go into depth? Can we go into detail and say who he is? And express to them from his word, not our word, just who it is? You know, at times, and I've had this experience that we've been smitten with sorrow of heart when we talk to people, going away. And it's difficult to have the door shut in your face and wonder, just why. But, you know, most of the time when you talk to people such as Nabal, when we do this, argument is out of the question. We must let the word speak for itself. You know, as it is not with the servant that they have to do. And listen to me, when you visit someone, when you speak to someone, it is not you with whom they have to do, but the person who sent them. Now, Nabal was going to find out that it was not the messengers that which he had to do, but it was the one who sent them, and that was David. And David, even though he was a king that was not yet on the throne, David was a man of power. David was a man of power, just like the Lord Jesus Christ, who was not yet on the throne when he was speaking in John's Gospel chapter 1 in verse 12, but to as many as received him gave he the what? Power. He had the power, even though he was not yet on the throne, to become the Son of God. So these men did the right thing, these servants that had come. And that's what you and I need to do. What did they do? When Nabal rebuked them, they turned back to David. Remember when John the Baptist's head was cut off and the disciples took his body, and to whom did they go after they buried him? They came to Jesus and told him all about it. And this is what we need to do when we are rebuked by the world, is to come back and go to Jesus and tell him about it. He says, I'll go before you, I'll be with you, and he is the one that is our guide, and it is he that they have rejected. Don't ever forget that. They did not reject you. They rejected your message if you are an ambassador to Christ and an ambassador for Christ. So they turn back to David. Now, again, we see here in Nabal, we see his folly in that he was living for self-gratification. Look at verse 36. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king, and Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken, wherefore she told him nothing less or more until the morning light. So his belly and his self-praise was the world that he desired. Not the world of the Lord's anointed. He didn't want anything to do with David. He wanted to have a feast for himself and the pride of himself and forget about the one that had protected him. Nabal was a fool. And any man is a fool who doesn't desire the Lord's anointed. Let me tell you that. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, number three, we've looked at David, and we've looked at Nabal, and now let us look at Abigail. In verse 3, Abigail, what a beautiful picture we have here. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and a beautiful countenance, and how wonderful that is, the wisdom of Abigail. Surely this was the case of being unequally yoked together. You know, often we don't listen to God. We don't listen to what He's saying. But we see her wisdom, the wisdom of Abigail. Turn to verse 18. And David was going to, as the kids would say today, he was going to zap. He was going to zap Nabal. He was going to wipe him off the face of the earth. And he had the power to do it. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before me before I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill, and, behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met him. David was on the way to do what he was going to do. Now David had said, surely in vain I have kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and that he hath requited me evil for good. So, and more, also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertain unto him, as he says here. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed her face to the ground. Now David was going to zap the unsaved, as it were. Now listen, God listens to intercessory prayer. God listens to intercessory wisdom. And God does this. So we see here in the wisdom of Abigail, that even though she was unequally yoked together, believers are in the world, though we're not of the world. So she yielded instantly. She had heard the messengers. She didn't see the messenger. She didn't see them, but she yielded instantly. And it was a work of faith and a labor of love. She believed in David because she knew that what he had done. And she didn't see the messengers, but her good understanding constrained her. And she knew that God had appointed this king, and he was not to be trifled with. And God's appointed king, my friend, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, is one with which we are not to trifle. And so she pleaded earnestly. Now, God honors this. Notice, she pleaded earnestly. She pleaded for her foolish husband, whose way was right in his own eyes. She knew that he's wrong, but she pleaded for her own foolish husband. But this was utter madness in her eyes, what he was doing. He was going to be zapped from the face of the earth. And she knew that David was capable of doing it. So we find here she prayed for herself. She knew the power of life and death was in David's hands. She prayed first for herself, and then she prayed for him. And eternal life is in the power of the Lord. The life there was in the power of David, and eternal life is in the power of the Lord. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now what did Paul mean by that? Is that we persuade men, as Abigail persuaded David, that these men would be wrong for him to have blood on his hands. And if you go into the reason that of David's being chastened by the Lord, it doesn't say that he was chastened because of adultery, which he did commit, but it said that it because he was a bloody man. A bloody man. So here, this intercession, it says we persuade men. She testified courageously. Prayer with God has power. Prayer with this representative here, which was David, he wasn't God, but he's a representative type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the morning, when she told Nabal these things, his heart died within him. She went back and she told Nabal these things. She didn't tell him those things when he was drunk. She waited till there was a proper time to tell him. And so we need to have the proper time to visit people, the proper time to talk with them about the Lord and use the proper means that the Lord would have us to use. And she was wise enough to wait to know the time that the wine had gone out of him. He got drunk when he had this feast in his house. But we find in verse 37, but when it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was going out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him. And in about 10 days, he either had a stroke or a heart attack or something, and he died. He died. He didn't listen to the pleading of his wife. He didn't listen to the pleading of one who knew the Lord Jesus, the Lord's anointed. The representative here was David. But many people today who know the Lord, the people who don't know the Lord are not listening, as Nabal didn't listen. But we had this one who testified so much encouraged for the Lord. And she was wise enough to wait until that he was in a position that she could speak to him rightly. She was a brave person. Abigail was a brave person. She confessed David as the king and acknowledges him fearlessly before her husband, before the threat of her husband, in spite of the hatred of her husband against him. Now, she did it in a loving way, in a loving manner. And this is what we need today, in a loving manner. When the wine is going out of a person, when the bitterness, the time of bitterness, if there's an argument and all these quibbling questions, that's not the time. But we need to present the Lord in the way that she presented him. And then his heart died within him because he had the opportunity, but he did not take it. And then we see the results that followed in this situation with David, who I believe in this portion of Scripture is representative of the Lord's anointed. And in Nabal, we see the pride and foolishness of the people in the world who are unsaved. And then Abigail, who is a beautiful example of those who believe in the Lord's anointed. And we see the result, that Nabal, who was the rejecter, was smitten. Verse 38, and it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. Perhaps the Lord was speaking about here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, about the rich man who says, I have barns and I'll tear them down and I'll build greater. As perhaps this is the very man about whom the Lord was speaking, because he wrote these scriptures and he knows about them. So perhaps he was speaking about Nabal, the man who refuses to believe in and believe on the Lord, is setting himself at eternal defiance with God. That's what happened here with David, representative of the Lord's anointed, Nabal, representative of the unbeliever, who is struck dead and is dead in sin forever and ever. And then we have Abigail. She is exalted. The believer is exalted. David sent for her. And after the death of her husband, she received a full reward for her faith. Separated by death from her husband, her foolish husband Nabal, and the people who are separated by death from the foolishness of the world are now married to the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was married to David, a representative here that we have in this beautiful picture of the Lord, the person who is in the world who rejects Christ, and the person who believes in the Lord and pleads for those who are not Christ believers. Read this story, study this story, and I think you'll glean from it. I'm sure that you will, for I did. Let's sing a hymn in closing. Number 230, just the first and the last verse, and how true it is, sinners Jesus will receive, soundest word of grace to all, who the heavenly pathway leads, all who linger, all who fall. Sing it o'er and o'er again, Christ receiveth.